Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Hoops-Hughes, and now part of the Beast and Family podcast, and we do have a tremendous podcast for you. In the second segment, Eli Becker, he does an amazing job over at HeatCheckCBB, founder of that great network. He also does some work over there at Athletic Director U. He does some great work when it comes to All Access Network as well. He's going to be joining me in the second segment. We're going to be keeping this a little bit shorter today to two segments because all we wound up seeing in college basketball in terms of news on Monday was we did wind up seeing a few guys go down to the 91 level, not necessarily a ton there. And in a few days, we're going to be taking a look at some of these teams that have been going on their foreign trips as well. I want to do this a little bit more altogether because I feel like trying to break down like Auburn versus Israel and things like this, it is a little bit of a defeatist purpose, and it's one of these cases in which you really don't take anything into these results. There is no correlation between teams that they wind up doing well against, insert your European, Asian, what have you, country here on their foreign trip, versus teams that do not. It's all about them being able to get an added practice, and we're going to be diving into that in the next few days. I don't have too many takeaways from that, but we're going to be diving in with Eli about some teams that, as the offseason has went along, he's been warming up on or feeling a little bit more tepid about. We're going to be looking at one team out there in the SEC. We're going to be diving into some Big East teams that they have been looking relatively solid in terms of the way that they've put together their rosters. So we're going to be talking about that with Eli and just some of these teams that, in general, do have potential to wind up starting out the year a little bit cold and then heating up as the season goes along as well. So we're going to have a great chat with Eli, and if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. Find that 5-star review. Really didn't wind up getting in any Twitter questions today, but we had a fun chat with Eli. That's coming your way next right here on Coast to Coast Soups with myself, Greg Spears, and now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Gibbs Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is always a pleasure to be joined by this guest, as Eli Becker is doing an amazing job over there at HeatCheckCBB. Everything that these guys are doing over there is tremendous. He is the founder of that. Also does great work over there at Athletic Director University, All Access Network. And he, much like myself, is a man that is out here on the West Coast. And to be able to follow Eli Becker on Twitter, easy enough. And his last name, Becker, B-O-E-T-T-G-E-R, underscore, and then his first name, Eli. And it is always a pleasure to have you aboard, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, as always, for having me on, Greg. It's always a really awesome time, so thank you again.
Always great to be able to have you aboard. And I do think that it is really interesting to take a look at what we're going to be getting for this upcoming college basketball season, because we have seen so much movement. And I'm sure that you, much like myself, wound up having a tough time digesting all these pieces in April and May. And something that I wind up finding myself doing quite a bit is that there is some teams that maybe are a little bit more bullish on, a little bit more bearish on, right when you wind up seeing all the news of like a coaching change, transfers, whatever you wind up happening. And then when you wind up taking a step back, it's like, man, maybe I was a little bit too high on them. Maybe this is a coaching change that I wasn't necessarily feeling at the start that now I am starting to feel a little bit more. Have there been any teams, or for that matter as well, any players that maybe you think towards the beginning part of this offseason that it was either going to be a really good fit or a really bad fit, and now you've had a little bit of a change of heart on them?
That's an interesting question. I think probably the most natural position for me to take here is to begin by discussing Arkansas a little bit. The Razorbacks were initially, when we released our first preseason top 25, way too early poll in the days leading up to the Final Four. We had Arkansas listed as our number one team, and that has since changed. And I don't expect the Razorbacks to fall off the board, but I do think they probably are a lot closer to that 10 to 15 range. And just given the nature of the SEC, that puts them probably as maybe not necessarily a top three, top four team in the SEC. And there is plenty of subject to debate here because it is a fairly top-heavy conference on paper right now, given what Kentucky has. Tennessee's returning some quality talents. Auburn's going to be good again. Alabama's in that mix as well. It should be a very strong conference again. But I do think instead of distancing itself, I think Arkansas kind of falls back into that shuffle. And I think the main reason there is because of the loss of Jalen Williams at the NBA draft deadline. He just did so much for this team that, to be quite honest, didn't always show up in the box score. We know that he was such a capable defender. He drew charges almost to the point where it became a meme online of just being kind of his skill set. But he offered so much to this program with what he did defensively. And I do think when you pair that with the losses that Arkansas had, it's a lot of roster turnover. And JD Notae, who just was a superstar, particularly down the stretch last season, he was one of the highest usage guys offensively in the entire country. And although there is quite a bit of talent that is coming in, Nick Smith should be an absolute stud. He's probably in the mix for being a number one NBA draft choice in 2023. There's also a fairly capable group here of transfers coming in as well. Ricky Council is one of them. Trevon Brazil is another one. You also have some front court guys. But I just think, overall, between Smith and also another five-star in Jordan Walsh, I do think it could place quite a bit of pressure on these two youngsters to step up if the transfers don't mesh properly. I don't love the front court as much as I would like to, given that we did enter the preseason with a lot of hype around Arkansas. I just don't know if the Mitchell twins from Rhode Island and also Jalen Graham, who is kind of an on-and-off guy with Arizona State, if that's going to be enough to supplement and replace what Jalen Williams brought to this program. So, again, I don't think that Arkansas is going to fall off the map. I think that they are very much a contender for a top five seed, but as far as being one of the top five teams in America, I'm not quite sure if I'm there yet, quite yet.
I can exactly see why you feel that way as well as joining me on the podcast. We do have Eli Becker because it is one of those teams where they sort of fall in the category of a team that I think is going to get better as the season goes along, because with Arkansas, what they always have is a bunch of moving parts. And I do think that it's interesting to take a look at teams like in Arkansas that they wind up building via the transfer portal. You're always going to have a bunch of new parts when it comes to the Razorbacks. This year, it's going to be a little bit more freshman-based than we've seen in the past. They wind up bringing in three McDonald's All-Americans, so they did an amazing job there. But it still is a little bit of a new-look Arkansas team in a day and age where being old is good in college basketball. How do you wind up evaluating some of these teams that they do wind up building a lot via the transfer portal and via freshmen, and they do wind up having a lot of moving parts? Because I think that these are some of the teams that they wind up being some of the scariest in February and March, but sometimes they just wind up putting up clunkers in out-of-conference play. And I mean, once again, you're able to look no further than Arkansas, so what they wound up doing last year on that front as well.
Yeah, and as you said, Arkansas itself had some ups and it had its fair share of downs. And Razorbacks started 9-0, then they lost 5 of 6, kind of heading towards the bubble with an 0-3 start in SEC play. And then closed the regular season winning, I believe it was 14 of 16, and then knocked off Gonzaga top overall seed. So I don't know if there is substantial evidence yet that heavy transfer rosters or even inexperienced teams or new teams that are low on roster continuity tend to ebb and flow as much as what it seems like Eric Musselman's teams do on a fairly consistent basis. But at the end of the day, this will be a young team. Last year was a team that did not shoot the basketball very well. They still were able to manufacture points by getting to the line, taking care of the basketball, and speeding the game up. But this was a very poor three-point shooting team. Again, there are going to have to be some answers as far as where the perimeter scoring comes from and also the interior defense. But I don't want to only play the negative role here. So I think another team that I am fairly encouraged by, which I see some people buying somewhat low end, is Arizona. And I know that this is another team that loses some pretty high level talent, losing three guys to the NBA draft. But I like what Arizona still has in store. I think the backcourt of Hella Larson and Kirk Carissa is still intriguing, even though they kind of had their ups and downs last season. I do think they have a pretty high ceiling. The transfers are going to bring some stability to what overall is a pretty young roster. Courtney Ramey coming over from Texas is a highly productive guy who has been consistent over his career. And Cedric Henderson Jr. Is an all-Big South guy who really can shoot and score the basketball from outside. And he also does a pretty good job on the boards, despite not really being a front court guy, being more of a wing player. And some other guys like Azulis Tubelis, he could be one of the best, I'd say, 5'10 stretch big men in all of college basketball. I know he did not end the season playing very well, but I do think it's in large part because he was banged up. Again, with Tommy Lloyd, we know what his track record and his pedigree is in bringing in international guys, and he has three of those coming in. So pretty high-level international players who were sought after by a lot of high-major programs. And they also were able to get Keelan Boswell, a five-star, to reclassify from 2023 to 2022. So I don't think this thing is going to happen overnight with Arizona. I would expect them to probably be a team that bobs in and out of the top 25 the first couple of months of the year. But if the Wildcats are able to figure it all out, I fully expect this team is capable of making a run to possibly the second weekend, because I do think that talent level is really, really high. And I do think that people are kind of underselling how good Arizona could be this season, despite the losses that they had this past offseason to the NBA draft.
And I feel like Cedric Henderson Jr., him coming over from Campbell, is one of the more underrated transfer portal additions in all of college basketball. Not that I think that he's going to be putting up the same numbers he did at Campbell or anything like that, but a versatile Swiss Army knife guy that can be sort of like a sixth man, maybe start from time to time if you do wind up having a few injuries. I think that he's going to be very solid for this Arizona team. And I do think that Tommy Lloyd going to have things humming. And keep in mind, Kirk Carissa was terrible in the NCAA tournament. I don't think that there's any way to wind up putting it any other way. I think that the coaching staff should have protecting them from himself. He's going to be fully healthy this year as well. And when fully healthy, still a little bit of a roller coaster ride, but certainly a guy that was able to fire on all cylinders, as we do have Eli Becker over there at Heat Check CBB joining me on the podcast. And I do think that it's going to be interesting to see what Arizona winds up doing, because I think that they're just going to really need to wind up having a big non-conference slate, because I just still take a look at the Pac-12 and I am very down on the conference as a whole. You still got Oregon State, Cal, very much bottom feeder teams. Washington State has been a team that we've been waiting for them to be able to emerge the last few seasons. And I do like some of their pickups as well, like with them bringing in Justin Powell from Auburn. I think that he's going to be solid. He was actually playing at Tennessee last year as well, but did most of his production when he was out there in the SEC while he was at Auburn. But I just think that we're going to be sort of where we've been the last few years with the Pac-12. Three, maybe four very solid teams, the two Los Angeles schools, Arizona, Oregon, I think is a little bit of a wild card. Washington State, one of those two teams, I think is going to be able to emerge a little bit. And then just a big giant chasm between those top few teams. And then it's a bad bottom.
I think it was a fairly underwhelming offseason for the Pac-12. And we've discussed this on the podcast before about the relative misses that this league has had. And, you know, Cal lost a double-digit score and one of their best players to the Big West. And that's just not really something that can happen given the Pac-12's label as a high major conference. But I do think that although the league, I would say overall, pretty much lacks a national title threat, I don't really think that UCLA can be put in that conversation. Even though I do like the Bruins quite a bit, I don't know if they are necessarily going to be that top five team come the end of the season, even though there is some high-level talent there with Jaime Jaquez coming back and Tiger Campbell as well. Beyond that, it's probably a fairly clear second tier that includes the likes of Arizona, Oregon, and USC. And then I think from there, it gets pretty bubbly. Stanford with Harrison Ingram, he's a talent there, but you have to kind of question how much he's going to have in support from maybe from guys like Michael Jones, who's coming over from Davidson. I think he kind of adds a scoring threat to that team. But Stanford has underwhelmed pretty substantially these last handful of years under Jared Haas. Washington, I'd probably throw them in the same bucket as at best maybe being a bubble team. There is some talent that we've talked about, bringing in Keon Brooks from Kentucky. That's a huge addition. Also, Noah Williams in conference and in-state transfer, in addition to Frank Kepnong, another in-conference transfer from Oregon. Jumbled there between Washington, Arizona State, I like quite a bit because they do have some high-level talent coming in with Cambridge brothers from Auburn and Nevada, respectfully. Frankie Collins as well, and Warren Washington, who was a really productive big man at Nevada. I do think there is some high ceiling there, but a lot of these teams are kind of in that middle of the road where either they didn't perform very well last season, like in ASU, and is now leaning heavily on transfer talent to build a program back up, which we have seen as kind of a hit or miss in recent years, or they're coming off of good years, but they've lost kind of their key contributors. And Colorado might be one of those sleeping giants. They've been so consistent under Ty Boyle, and this is a program that does not receive the credit that it deserves, having won 20 plus games and seemingly every season under Ty Boyle. I know there are a few exceptions, but this team has been extremely high level of consistency. And although the Buffaloes lose some key talents, I do think that this was a very young roster that lost some key prospects in the preseason last fall that are now heading towards being healthy. So I'd be intrigued if that young core can get it going. But overall, the depth in this conference, I think, is kind of lacking. There isn't at least that top tier that can be slid into the national title conversation. And once again, it is looking a little ominous for the Pac-12, particularly with the LA schools leaving for the Big Ten in the next handful of seasons. It's kind of a who's who show right now in the league, and that's obviously not what these programs want to be seeded in heading into the season.
I totally agree with you there. I do think that it is looking a little bit rough for the Pac-12, and we're talking about a conference that hasn't done a lot here in the transfer portal and the offseason. And joining me on the podcast, we do have Eli Becker. And I've been open on this podcast about saying the conference I feel like overall wound up doing the best job this offseason. That'd be the Big East. You just take a look top to bottom, really, other than Marquette, who's just riding it out with a lot of the players that they wound up having last season. A lot of teams wound up making a bunch of moves. And I feel like many of these wound up going under the radar. We all love Baylor, Shireman going to a great team that I believe is going to be in the top 10 when it's all said and done. I think that wound up being able to bolster them. But you take a look at Georgetown, who was terrible last season. They looked themselves in the mirror. They wind up replacing a lot of those guys. And I love what Providence wound up doing. Providence took a lot of guys like a Bryce Hopkins, who didn't wind up getting a whole bunch of playing time at Kentucky. Someone like a Corey Floyd Jr. You're able to go down the list. And they bring in these guys that they were relatively highly touted, but they just weren't able to find their footing at their previous school, and they're going to be taking pretty much a little bit of a buy low flyer on them. And I think that this really works out a lot when it comes to some of these power conference teams, that they take a look at a guy that was formerly in like the top 150, and then they wind up bringing them in. A lot of these top 150 guys that they wind up going down to the mid-major level, we've seen it wind up being a little bit more of a roll of the dice there. But I do like what Providence is doing, banking on the talent that they wound up seeing at the high school level with a lot of these guys being able to show through. And I feel like they, under the radar, have had a very nice offseason.
It's been an intriguing offseason for them. And I do think that overall the program has rebounded pretty well from some significant departures. And another Big East program that I would throw into this conversation is UConn. I believe the Huskies faithful is still kind of waiting for their breakout moment, even though UConn was able to pick up a 5 seed this past season, having the first-round loss to New Mexico State and probably not finishing the season the way that they would have hoped, finishing a few games back behind both Providence and Villanova is what UConn fans want out of Dan Hurley. But this program has had an upward trajectory since Kevin Ollie's ousting, and I do think the offseason pickups that UConn had should be able to strengthen the backcourt. Naheem Alain from Virginia Tech, he is a lights-out three-point shooter. Tristan Newton coming over from East Carolina, he will be able to add to this team's depth as well. Those are two electric three-point shooters who really will anchor this rotation, and also bringing in Hassan Jara, who isn't necessarily that type of shot maker. He has hit some massive late-in-the-game shots for Texas A&M, but this is a guy who's kind of trying to hit the reset button. He had two ho-hum seasons with Texas A&M as a former top 60, top 70 recruit. He's looking to kind of push the reset button and bring some things to this team, particularly from the defensive end, but then also combining this with probably a pair of two breakout candidates in Andre Jackson and Jordan Hawkins, who are two fairly sizable wing threats. And then maybe the biggest front runner for player of the year, Adama Sanogo down low, who we know is just a tremendous rim protector, and we have seen his offensive game develop quite a bit. I like UConn quite a bit. I think that this is a team that I haven't been too high on the last couple of seasons. I just don't think that they necessarily had the pieces to put it all together. I think point guard play will be the key for this team. But between UConn and Villanova, which I am still fairly high on, I still like what Villanova has coming in. A really good freshman class, Mark Armstrong, Brendan Housen, and Cam Whitmore, especially being the five-star of the group. I do think that Villanova, even with losing Jay Wright, I think Kyle Neptune is going to get this thing moving very quickly, with seeing what he did at Fordham, establishing a great defense for a very dormant Fordham program these last handful of seasons. He did a great job in his first year there. I think we're looking at a great future head coach in the Big East. And overall, I like the depth of this league once again. It was a great season for the Big East this past year, getting six teams into the NCAA tournament, having Xavier rebound pretty well from a pretty tough February and March to make a run to the NIT title game. And I think overall, the Big East is poised for another really strong season behind a pretty capable group of top-tier teams.
Totally agree with you. And with Xavier, not a ton of transfers are coming in, but Sule Boom is a big one. I mean, he's got the name Boom right in his name, so that winds up helping. And I'm so glad that you wanted mentioning UConn as well, with bringing in a guy, and Tristan Newton is able to put up 15-plus points per game. Naheem Aline, I think, is going to be able to do a solid job, to your point as well. So we are in total agreement there. I think that the Big East has made some great moves this offseason. And the only person that's made bigger moves in the offseason than the Big East, that'd be you over there at HeatCheck CBB, my friend. You guys are doing absolutely amazing work. I know that you wound up launching the HeatCheck CBB Hangout a couple days ago with our good friends Brian Rolf. I know that Riley Davis is going to be a part of that, along with Connor Hope. That trio, they do amazing work. And all of you guys over there do an absolutely outstanding job of being able to cover the game of college basketball. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Greg. We've got a lot of things that we're excited about going on at HeatCheck. You mentioned the Hangout podcast, which we're excited to launch and bring some video elements to the website, and talking about a lot of hot topics and covering teams from coast to coast and high to mid to low major level in college basketball. And do have some exciting announcements on the way. We have a big project that we have been working on throughout the off season that we are excited to announce and launch later this off season, and continuing to build and grow and continue to add on excitement into the college basketball world. So we're inching closer in August. We're still a few months away, but it's never too soon to start thinking about next year. And we're sitting right there with you, previewing the whole season. So we're looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great college basketball season from our good friends over there at HeatCheck CBB, some of the hardest working guys in the business. Eli is a man that founded this great network a little bit over 2 years ago, and it is always a pleasure to get him on the podcast. A big thanks to Eli for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is by Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letter CM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review here in the offseason. Doing a combination of things, looking forward to the college basketball season, some main notes like we wound up doing with Eli, and then we've got my conference previews coming up as well. Looks like we will have the Ohio Valley Conference along with the Missouri Valley this week. I'm going to look to try to probably do the MAC next week as well. So we've got those conferences on tap for you guys, and I'll be coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, which means I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.